Welcome to some Bhakti Sangha Japa conference. So today's class will be given by Her Grace Palasudha Mataji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Leela, chapter 24, verse number, text number 16 onwards. Hare Krishna. It's Palasudha Mataji. Are you present on the call, Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Komodiki Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Guru Maharaj.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable association. Please, you can take over the call now, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 24, entitled Explanations of the Atmaram Verse. Reading from text 16. Text 16. Nirgrantha shabda kahe abhidya granthihin vidhi nishet veda shastra jnanadi vihin. Translation. The word nirgrantha refers to the one who is liberated from the material knots of ignorance. It also refers to one who is devoid of all regulative principles enjoined in the Vedic literature. It also refers to one who does not have knowledge. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namini Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapatakar Swaminiti Namini Namo Acharya Padaya Nitaya Kripa Padayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Grama Tarini Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshakarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vaibhav Shravasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Tangurangaya Thikirim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dhanatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hariyam. So Hare Krishna, this Atmaram verse, you know, Mahaprabhu, he's a master of miracles, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. In the beginning of the chapter, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose most auspicious disappearance day we are celebrating today, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying that how Mahaprabhu so expertly, amazing talent, that how Mahaprabhu explains this entire, you know, verse of Atmaram in so many different ways. And in specifically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that he explains it in 61 different ways. In the beginning of the chapter, Srila Sanatan Goswami Pad, he is asking Mahaprabhu, that Mahaprabhu, I've heard that, you know, you explained to me just previously all the tenets of devotional services, all the highest practices and the ultimate goal of life, the purpose of life, all of that we discussed about. But I have one small desire that I want to know, because I've heard that you very beautifully described to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya the Atmaramascha Munaya verse. So, and you explained it to him in 18 different ways. So can you please repeat it to me? I want to hear it from your lotus mouth. Like this, Srila Sanatan Goswami very humbly very, very genuinely, he submitted himself to the Lord. And when he did that, Mahaprabhu was so pleased. He was so pleased by the genuine humility of Śrīla Sanātana Goswāmī. Mahaprabhu, you know, he displayed his humility. Such beautiful verses Mahaprabhu described by saying that, oh, as soon as Sanatana said this, Mahaprabhu spontaneously, what did he say? He said, oh, Sanatana, I'm just a madman. I don't know what I have said. You know, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's another madman. And two madmen come together, you know, you never know. You cannot trust what we speak. Mahaprabhu is speaking this out of his genuine humility. You know, he's not making it up. He really feels like that. And by speaking like this, he's in fact glorifying Śrīla Sanātana Goswāmī. And Mahaprabhu is saying later on that by your association, Sanatan, something may come out from my mouth because I just don't remember what I spoke to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It's so amazing, you know, when I was just reading this again this morning, these verses, it just made me feel that if Mahaprabhu is so genuinely humble, if Mahaprabhu is setting the bar up at, you know, he's setting the bar up really, really high, the highest that it can ever be, then following in Mahaprabhu's footsteps, how much humility we need to develop. We have so much, at least I can speak for myself, yeah, got so much pride, so much, you know, false notions about oneself that, yes, you know, we have this quality, we have that quality. Look at how great I am. Look at how this I am. Look at how that I am. We never stop glorifying ourselves. And in front of others, we create a false humility by saying, oh, no, 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 no this, that, no this, no that. But genuinely from our heart, are we able to feel that humility, you know, that whatever we are speaking is actually by the association of pure Vaishnavas. You know, when we are in the association of genuine Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas, you know, they prompt us to speak because in each and every one of their hearts, they have realized that Krishna is present in their hearts. There's a difference. When we associate with karmis, they also have Krishna in their heart, but they have not realized the presence of Krishna in their heart. So there's a difference. The Vaishnavas, they have realized that Krishna is present in their heart. And that's why they act according to it. Materialistic people, they act in forgetfulness of Krishna, whereas Vaishnavas, we try to act in remembrance of Krishna. That's the difference. We acknowledge the presence of Krishna. At least we try to acknowledge the presence of Krishna. And because we do that, that association, whatever happens in that association, is something very special. That is matchitta madgata prana. Bodhayanta parasparam. Kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti charam. That's exactly what Mahaprabhu is saying. That, Sanatan, I don't know. You're asking me to speak something. I don't even remember what I spoke to, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I don't know. I don't remember. Mahaprabhu is directly declaring that he does not remember. Is that true? No. Definitely not. Mahaprabhu remembers everything. He is Krishna himself in the mood of his perfect and complete devotee, Srimati Radharani. How can Mahaprabhu forget something? Or Mahaprabhu was speaking like this with his genuine humility. That he's trying to glorify Sanatana Goswami. That Sanatana Goswami, you are such a wonderful Vaishnava. In your presence, I may be able to speak something in regards to what you have asked me. That is the beauty of Mahaprabhu's humility and Mahaprabhu's quality of glorifying Vaishnavas. These are things, these are qualities, these are the kind of, I don't want to use the word talks, but these are the kind of actions, these are the kind of interactions rather that we should try to focus our minds on. That how can we act in such a way that is genuinely pleasing to Guru and Krishna? How can we act in such a way that is always glorifying the Vaishnavas? Never putting them down, never pointing finger at them, but giving them all respect and expecting none in return. Mahaprabhu exemplified this in his own life. He never expected any respect in return, but Mahaprabhu gave all respect to everybody else. The way he is respecting Sanatan Goswami, the way he is talking and glorifying Sanatan Goswami is amazing. It just, you know, when Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, when they came to meet Mahaprabhu, they wrapped around, you know, a gamsha. Gamsha means like a cloth towel. A gamsha around their neck, and they literally put a trina, means a straw, on their, you know, in between their teeth to, you know, show their genuine humility. And they fell like sticks in front of Mahaprabhu. And they spoke such great and amazing words from the heart that, you know, that people say that we are so great, we are so this, we are so that, but we are not. You know, so genuinely both the brothers had submitted themselves with utter humility to the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu, listening to them, he had commented that your humility, Rupa and Sanatan, your humility is breaking my heart. Was it really breaking Mahaprabhu's heart? Rather, it was touching Mahaprabhu's heart. That's what he means. That, you know, when we can develop such humility, it really touches the heart of the Lord. So here too, when Mahaprabhu is saying to Sanatan, that I will try to explain the Atmaram verse that you have told me to explain to you, I will try to explain it to you not by my own ability, but by the beautiful association that I have of yourself, I may be able to explain something. Krishna manifests himself based on the kind of surrender that the assembled devotees have for him. In certain places, you know, sometimes we come out, we feel the katha was so beautiful, this speaker spoke so nicely. It's actually, definitely credit goes to the speaker, because, you know, he has spoken with such amazing devotion. But the credit also goes to the listeners, because seeing the inquisitiveness, seeing the eagerness, seeing the you know, the quality of the listeners, the speaker is inspired, the Paramatma within the heart of the speaker is inspired to speak. So that the heart listening to the speaker, the hearts of the listeners get inspired. So there is, you know, parasparam inspiration going on, you know, the speaker and the listener. Same thing happened with Srila Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. Why was Parikshit Maharaj, you know, able to sit and listen to Shukadev Goswami? And why was Shukadev Goswami able to speak non-stop for 7 days and seven nights? If the listener would have said, oh, excuse me, sir, restroom break. Oh, excuse me, I need to go to, you know, just feed my stomach, I'm a little hungry. The speaker would speak in that way. But because Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami as if his entire life was dependent on it. So Shukadev Goswami also spoke to Maharaj Parikshit and the entire assembly of the sages as if his entire life was dependent on it. So it is a mutual, you know, undertaking of relationships that's going on, which inspires beautiful Krishna Katha. That is Krishna, how much we are, you know, in that particular assembly, in that particular audience, how much there is Krishna, that much of Katha will be inspired. That Mahaprabhu has given as a statement. So here also, you know, Mahaprabhu ended up giving 61. I mean, 61 different, you know, explanations of this Atma Ramascha Munayo verse. In fact, I was just trying to categorize it. I kind of summarized the entire, I couldn't give it up, you know. I couldn't put this entire chapter down. I've seen this. Whenever I start reading this particular chapter, I end up reading the entire chapter. So I was reading the entire chapter and I realized that Mahaprabhu started the explanation from verse number 10 of this particular chapter. And Mahaprabhu goes on to explain the individual meanings of this particular verse till text 106 or something. So for almost around 100 verses, Mahaprabhu is explaining the four lines of this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, individual meanings of each of this verse, and individual word meaning. And he's giving, you know, many, many meanings, many, many explanations of each and every word in this particular verse. And text 107, Mahaprabhu was saying that, well, now I'll try to give you a concise meaning of what this entire verse would mean in its completeness, in its fullness. And that goes on for almost another 125 verses. 125 verses, Mahaprabhu is explaining what is the entire connection of the, you know, individual words that are there in this particular verse. It's beyond comprehension. It's simply beyond comprehension. It's such an important verse. You know, this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is there in first canto, seventh chapter, text number 10. This chapter is entitled, The Son of Drona Punished. And here, the chapter is started by saying that what was the qualification of Srila Shukadev Goswami for him to be able to, you know, so much get into Srimad Bhagavatam? What really made him get into Srimad Bhagavatam so much? So here's the answer. So 1.7.10. Suto Vacha Atmaramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Api Urukrame Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Gunohari. Translation, Sutta Goswami said, all different varieties of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in the Atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So, such a beautiful verse that the Lord is capable of attracting anybody. Anybody and everybody. Here in the later verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, like 1.7.11, 12, all of them, they go on to explain that how the Chatushkumaras got, you know, attracted. They were liberated souls. They were Brahmavadis. You know, Srila Shukadev Goswami, how he got attracted to the Srimad Bhagavatam and to the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the words of Krishna. How did he get attracted to Krishna? So even liberated souls are capable of getting attracted by the lotus feet of Krishna. That is Krishna. So here in this particular verse that we are reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the word nirgrantha is being explained. And this is just two explanations that we read today of this one word which appears in this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Mahaprabhu is saying that the word nirgrantha refers to one who is liberated from the material knots of ignorance. It also refers to one who is devoid of all regulative principles in the Vedic literature, and it also refers to one who does not have knowledge. So three. Three explanations to the word nirgrantha. Then text 17, we'll see, I mean, you can see that later, that how Mahaprabhu was giving further explanations of the word nirgrantha. What could be the other possible meanings of the word nirgrantha? You see, Sanskrit is a very, very complicated language. That's why it's indeed called as the mother of all languages, because all other languages of the world originate from this one language called Sanskrit. So Sanskrit words are such that based on, they don't have just one meaning. You know, sometimes in English, you know, very seldom it happens in English, but sometimes in our other, you know, languages, we see that one particular word can have maximum two meanings, not more than that. But Sanskrit is such a language that at one single word, based on the context that it is being used in, can have multiple meanings. Here, just the word nirgrantha is being explained, that nirgrantha refers to one who is liberated from the material knots of ignorance. Nirgrantha. It also refers to one who is devoid of regulative principles enjoined in the Vedas. Means whatever, you know, standards and religious principles that are described in the Vedas, that if a person is going against them, he is also called as nirgrantha. It also refers to one who does not have any knowledge. Grantha means book also. And nirgrantha means, you know, no book knowledge. Nir means no. Nothing is there. So like this, you know, Sanskrit can be, you know, one word can give many, many meanings. We'll see how further also Mahaprabhu is giving different meanings of this one particular word, nirgrantha. So, how, you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the beginning of this particular chapter, he is giving such an apt summary of this particular chapter of the Srimad, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is from the Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. Amrita Pravaha Bhashya that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, that he has given summary of each and every chapter of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Srila Prabhupada has given in a concise form in the beginning of every chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that he described all, he means Gauranga Mahaprabhu, described all the different meanings of the words, and then he concluded that different classes of transcendentalists utilize this verse according to their own interpretation. But if they would give up this process and surrender to Krishna, as is indicated in this verse itself, they would be able to comprehend the real meaning of this verse. So what is the real meaning of this Atmaramascha Munayo verse? What is the main purpose of this verse? What is the actual purport that here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about? And what is actually Mahaprabhu explaining over 125 verses? I mean, if you see in totality, it's almost 225 verses that Mahaprabhu is describing the Atmaramascha Munayo verse. And then to establish the authentication of this particular verse, Mahaprabhu then goes on to tell the story of Mrigari the hunter, that how Mrigari the hunter was delivered by Narad Muni, you know. So this chapter is very interesting in that way, that how this entire flow of this particular verse just, you know, flows into the culmination of Narad Muni liberating Mrigari the hunter, and then the ocean of nectar of Krishna Prem, how it has been glorified by Mahaprabhu. So that is the ultimate objective of this particular verse, that how the devotees who are constantly immersed in, absorbed in, you know, immersing themselves in the Krishna Prema, in different devotional services of Krishna, various services to Krishna, how they are completely submerged in the ecstatic emotions of Krishna Prem, that is being described here. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, today we are celebrating his Tirobhav Tithi. Tirobhav Tithi means his disappearance day. So, Vaishnava, whether it is appearance day or whether it is disappearance day, it is a celebration for us. You know, we celebrate the disappearance day also, but we celebrate the disappearance day, yes, there is a sadness in this day because the Acharya has physically gone away from our vision. But at the same time, the Acharyas, the Vaishnavas, they are so merciful that they are still alive by the instructions that they have given us, their teachings that they have given us, that the Acharyas still live through their teachings. And we can keep the Acharyas alive or with us personally as long as we are following their instructions. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I mean, we all know about his life and, you know, what are some of his achievements. You know, we all know how he was a district magistrate and he had successful, successful family life. He had a wonderful family. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whenever he would come home, he would say, Jedino grihete bhajana dekhi, grihete goloko bhai. That I see when I come home, I see my wife, my children engaged in the service of Krishna. That is Goloka Vrindavan for me. That is the verdict of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He literally made his home Goloka Vrindavan. Because he carried Krishna in his heart so much, and he realized the presence of Krishna in his heart so much that Krishna started manifesting even externally from his heart. That was the beauty of this powerful Acharya Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And because he was such a powerful preacher, because he wrote over 100 books glorifying Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the teachings of Krishna, how he was like the creator, the reviver of the Namahatta system of preaching Krishna consciousness that was originally started by Sri Nityananda Ram. He was the one who took away and swept away the marketplace of the holy name. He swept away all the upper sampradayas, the aul, baul, and all the crazy sampradayas that were coming up. He just swept them clean and brought and gave the pure Krishna consciousness. He revived pure Krishna consciousness. And because of all of these activities that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did, very rightly Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to be very lovingly called as the seventh Goswami. After the six celebrated Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be called very lovingly as the seventh Goswami. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually made three major predictions. And his three major predictions, one was that the teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu will be broadcast all over the world, you know. That was one of his predictions. That, and the second prediction was that when will that day come when the Hare Krishna Mahamantra will be actually chanted outside the shores of India? That was his second prediction. And the third prediction and desire that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had was that when will that day come when white-bodied Americans and other people from all over the world will come to Sri Mayapur Dham and chant along with the Bengali Vaishnavas, Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari. That was his prediction. So this is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his amazing contributions. I mean, we all saw how beautifully Vrinda Gopika Mataji had posted the Thakur's, you know, daily schedule. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's not possible for any mundane person, you know, even a practicing Vaishnava, to even fathom that kind of a schedule, to follow that kind of strict schedule every single day. It's impossible. Unless he is a divine personality, unless he is a personality descended directly from the spiritual world who has come for the purpose of reviving Krishna consciousness. That was one of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's major, major contributions, was in the preaching field. That how, you know, today's Bhakti Riksha system that we know, that system was originally propagated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his system of the Namahatta. You know, the history goes like this, that Namahatta system that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had revived you know, originally Nityananda Prabhu had started this Namahatta program, you know, like how the song says, you know, actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur, most of the songs that we sing on a daily basis is written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We sing Jai Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, that is written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We sing Gora Arati, that is written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We sing Sharire Avidya Jal before honoring Mahaprasad, that is written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we owe all of this, our daily sadhana, we owe it to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, Nityananda Ram, when Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas and when he left West Bengal and he went and made Jagannath Puri, Srinilachal Dham, when he made that his headquarters, Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu that, my dear Nitai, I want you to go back to Bengal and do what I wasn't able to do. Please go back to Bengal and make devotees, you know, change the heart of those Bengali people. I could not do this. But you can, Nitai, please go. At that time, Nityananda Prabhu didn't say a word back to Lord Chaitanya, and he just left from Nilachal Dham. He came back to Bangla. And when he came back to Bengal, it is said that Nodiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Pati Ache Namahata Jivere Karan. Nodiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Pati ache na mahato jivera karan. That in Nodiya, in West Bengal, Nityananda Ram came back and he started the Namahatta program in Surabhi Kunj, very near to the, you know, the place where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur lives in Godrum Dweep in Mayapur. That's where Nityananda Ram started the Namahatta programs. And Nityananda Ram, when he would, you know, when he mobilized this form of preaching, he would say that, you know, every, you know, one village, around one village, he would select maybe 8-10 homes, or sometimes if the village is bigger number, maybe 20 homes. And around that one home, how many ever, you know, 3-4 homes were there, all of them would congregate in that one home. And they would just get together, they would, you know, chant Hare Krishna, and they would recite some Krishna Katha, and they would take prasad together in the evenings, every day. So Nityananda Prabhu, this way, made villages after villages, he made them Krishna conscious by simply following this process of Namahatta. Namahatta means Nam Hatta. Hatta in Bangla means marketplace. And Nam is the holy name. The marketplace of the holy name, where you can come and buy the holy name. And what is the mulya? What is the currency with which we buy the holy name? That is Shraddha. That is our faith. With the currency of our faith, we buy the holy name. And the main Nityananda Mahajan, he is the Mahajan of this whole, you know, this Namahatta, of this marketplace of the holy name. Nityananda Prabhu is the Mahajan, means he's the main person there. He's the one who is like the main distributor. And who is one of the agents? You know, Dalaler Geet by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Very beautiful song, this Dalaler Geet. In that song, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining that Dosturi Lohi Boami, that I will also take my commission of this marketplace of the holy name when you come and, you know, bring so many souls into Krishna's marketplace of the holy name. Then I, as one of the commission officers, will take a little bit of commission. So what is that commission? That commission is Krishna Prem. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that as an acharya, as, you know, one of the acharyas in our parampara, he's saying this, that I am, that's my position in this marketplace of the holy name. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taken a very menial position also in this market. He says that I am the one who is the sweeper. I am the sweeper of this marketplace. Why the sweeper? He keeps the marketplace clean, not only internally, but even externally. Rather, not only externally, but even internally. Externally, just, you know, keeping it clean. We know what external cleanliness means. But internal cleanliness is, you know, driving away any kind of apasampradayas, any kind of watered-down philosophy. Keeping our philosophy clean is the purpose of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's presence in the marketplace of the holy name. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu, you know, he just revolutionized the people of West Bengal. And by next Rath Yatra, Nityananda Ram took the entire Bengal almost, and they made a procession, and they came to Rath Yatra, to Jagannath Puri, and Lord Nityananda, he offered all these souls of Bengal, he offered them to the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And then Nityananda Prabhu spoke, and he said, "Then, my dear Mahaprabhu, you had told me that I should go to Bangla and preach, because you were not able to do it. At that time, I didn't say a word. But all these souls that I have brought to you, how have they become devotees? It's nothing to do with me. I was able to do this because you instructed me to do it. Your instruction, which is non-different from you, Mahaprabhu, was there with me. And you, through your own instructions, were able to change the hearts of these, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and make them into pure Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So I offer these souls to you. Please accept them. You have made them devotees. Now you accept them back." That was the humility of Lord Nityananda. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu's preaching was growing, and he was following the system of Namahatta. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he started his preaching, he actually studied the preaching style of Nityananda Prabhu, and he gave it a proper structure. You know, that he said that there should be groups, small groups. And these small groups should not be independent, because when we have small groups, they tend to become like bubbles in all space. You know, bubbles, when they are left in space, they become independent. And then if they become independent, what happens to a bubble if it goes independent? Then it will burst one day and it will dissolve and it will go into space. It will lose its existence. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur thought about it. He said that these small groups should be like leaves coming out from a root which is having its connection. You know, the leaf should be connected to the root. So that way the leaves can keep growing and growing and growing. Many leaves can keep growing, but still each and every one of them are connected to the root. So that way they are always nurtured. So this was the structure that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, using his magnanimous intelligence, he used this and he implemented this. And he introduced this entire system of Namahatta preaching as a tree of devotion. You know, where the temple is at the root, or the main preaching center is at the root of this devotional tree, and then it branches out into the small groups. Then he appointed someone called as the, you know, the Chakrapati, the Upachakrapati, and the Malapati, and the Mahamalapati. Like this, you know, so many different layers of structure was formed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then, in the early 80s, Srila Prabhupada had actually instructed Srila Jayapataka Maharaj to start congregational preaching. Because in those days, in the early days of Krishna consciousness, there was no concept of anyone staying outside the temple and practicing devotional service, practicing Krishna consciousness. The only way that you could be a devotee in those early days was that if you joined the temple. But Srila Prabhupada had told Jayapataka Maharaj that in the future, our temple, our ISKCON centers will be like that, the church, just like how people would come to the church on Sundays, but during the entire, you know, day, they congregate in their own homes. They follow the, you know, the practices of the church in their own homes. So similarly, Prabhupada said that, you know, devotees will practice in their own homes, and then on Sundays they will come to the temple, they will congregate together. So having this instruction from Srila Prabhupada, Srila Jayapadaka Maharaj in the early 80s had started the Namahatta preaching program style, which was, you know, gatherings at home, which is sometimes 30, you know, 50, 100 people gather together, where there's kirtan, lecture, prasad, kirtan, like that. Very nice home programs were called as Namahattas. Then this structure of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's preaching style came into Srila Jayapadaka Maharaj's vision, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to call it as Namahatta. But because there was an already existing system of Namahatta that was there in ISKCON, so the Congregation Development Ministry and Jayapadaka Maharaj came up with a new name to implement the same Namahatta structure of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They came up with this name from the Chaitanya Charitamrita itself. They came up with this name as Bhakti Vriksha, which is the tree of devotion. So this is a term that is connoted and found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita itself. And just to distinguish it from the already existing Namahatta in ISKCON, it was named as Bhakti Vriksha. But this Bhakti Vriksha structure is the same structure that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had implemented. So we are actually very, very fortunate that we have, you know, these acharyas with us. And by the implementation, by the following of this kind of structure, we are actually following the instructions and directly serving the instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and our Guru Vargas. So we should consider ourselves very, very fortunate. You know, Srila Prabhupada, one time in a room conversation, they were just talking, you know, Srila Prabhupada was with some of his, you know, big men disciples. And one of the disciples, I think it was Madhudvisha Prabhu, he said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a very powerful acharya, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada nodded, he said, yes, he's a very powerful acharya. And then Madhudvisha Prabhu said that if Bhaktivinoda Thakur made that prophecy that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the holy name, will, you know, will be taken across the shores of India, why did Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself not do it? So to that, Srila Prabhupada answered, he said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a very powerful acharya. Acharyas are very powerful. If he wanted, he could have fulfilled it himself. But it is his mercy that he left that work for all of us to follow. That is his mercy. That he made this prediction, but he made sure that he would have, you know, he would send, you know, the best qualified person, the Senapati Bhakta of Gauranga Mahaprabhu would be sent to fulfill this prediction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, fulfill this desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, prediction of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada came, and Prabhupada said that this is the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he could have done it. But he didn't do it because he wanted us to get a chance to serve in his mission. That is the mercy of an acharya. So it is up to us how much we are taking this opportunity. You see, this prediction of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Prithivite ache jato nagaradigram sarvatra prachar hoibe mor naam, or the, you know, the prophecy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is already getting fulfilled. You know, Westerners from all over the world are coming to Mayapur, and, you know, Mahaprabhu's names are getting chanted all over the world. All of this is already happening. You know, his predictions are already fulfilled. But it is up to us how much we want to participate in this mission so that our lives can get successful. That is up to us. So let us make our wise decision. We should choose very wisely and choose to be in the association of devotees, choose to surrender to Krishna and follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, so that we can please the acharyas, please our Guru Vargas, do services for the pleasure of our Guru Vargas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is none other than Kamala Manjari in his eternal spiritual form, who is a very confident servitor of Srimati Radharani and Srimati Lalita Devi. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very, very special personality, and today on this day of his disappearance day, let us humbly appeal to the most powerful Acharya, the seventh Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Let us appeal to him, let us beg his mercy so that he allows us to participate in this preaching mission of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and make our lives a grand success as an offering to our spiritual master. So with this, we will end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Sachidananda Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Namaskaram. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj and to you. Very, very wonderful class you have given, and also Bhakti Viksha, Namahata and Bhakti Viksha. Very, very Dalalela song. You have enlightened us. Very, very wonderful, Mataji. Thank you very much. Please give us more and more of your association. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any question, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Srinam. And glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. And glory to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Glory to you, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. And especially, you know, glorifying Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur on today on his disappearance day. So, Mataji, I have one question. Not a question as such, but as a doubt. Like, been hearing about this thing, and you also brought it up, that how those days joining ISKCON means joining the temple, and or practicing bhakti means joining the temple itself. When my Guru Maharaj brought up this point recently, but these days, you know, it is the temples are empty, and it's only on Sundays that people gather together, and rest everybody is practicing at their home. So my question is, like, what was the ideal scenario? Was it good at that time when people were joining the temple and temple were full? Or how it is that today the temples are empty? Hardly anybody is there for Mangala Arati, you know, two or three people. And the rest, but everybody is practicing home. Or both the scenarios were right as per time, place and circumstances. Just want to know, Mataji, like, what actually should be and how it should be like.
Yes, you are right that, you know, in those days the temple was the main center of activities, and nowadays we don't see that much crowd, especially during off hours, and especially in a country like America, you know, where everyone is so busy with their own daily, you know, schedule and work and things. So it's difficult for everyone to at least come to the temples and even attend Mangal Arati and things like that. It's definitely difficult. But at the same time, we need to know and see that what Srila Prabhupada had predicted, that he wanted every home to be a temple. Not that, you know, just our temple will be our place of worship. Yes, people do congregate in the temple during weekends. You know, at least during that time, we should encourage, like in Houston, we are very thankful to our temple president, actually, that he has been emphasizing and stressing His Grace Shamsundar Prabhu, he's been emphasizing and stressing the importance of attending morning program at least during Sundays. You know, he encourages, with his own personal example, he encourages the congregation to come for the morning program on Sundays at least, you know. Come to the morning program on Sundays or Saturday, you know. Someday, one day a week at least, we should make time. You know, for attending the entire morning program. And this is definitely up to the leaders with what kind of standards we are setting. But during the weekdays, it's not going to be really possible with the kind of life that, you know, devotees here in North America especially are leading, you know. So as long as they are doing things in their own home, and as long as, you know, they are following the, you know, the temple schedule in their own home as much as they can, it's perfectly all right. And as long as they're coming to the temple on weekends, that should be okay. But yes, you are right that we should have a certain structure where we are encouraging our congregation members to attend at least on weekends the morning program. It's very nurturing, you know, to do chanting and japa in the association of devotees. It is very nurturing. So we should come and experience that at least on Sundays at our regular temple. We should do that. So that's my opinion. I hope this helps.
Thank you so much, Mataji. That really helped. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
And I thank you, Kirtida Sundari Mataji, for, you know, forcing me to give the class today. By your mercy, you know, I was able to myself read this particular chapter again, and trust me, it was amazing. So I really, really am very, very grateful to you for this opportunity. Thank you.
And I'm grateful to you, Mataji, for accepting my request, and we could hear the glorification from your lotus mouth. So thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you. Honest to you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna
Kala Suda Mataji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam to your association. Today I am working, so I miss half of the lecture, but I will hear in my lunch. Mataji, can you sing Vrindavana Ramya Sthana Divya Chintamani Dhamma? If it is possible.
Sure. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for class. I do have a couple questions. One is, I wasn't able to catch the reason why Jayapataka Maharaj gave the Namhata structure the different name of Bhakti Viksha when the structure was the same as the Namhata, you know, mm-hmm. Bhakti Viksha. Mm-hmm. So what was the reason that you gave?
The reason why that was done is because, you know, Namhata was already an established system in ISKCON by this time, because Bhakti Viksha, this structure of Bhakti Vinod Thakur that was studied, and it came into light in the recent years, actually in the early 90s, mid-90s, actually, 95, it came into being. And because it had already been 15 years since the Namahata system was already in place, so to change the structure of Namahata would be very difficult, you know. So therefore, to not disturb the existing system of Namahata, the same structure of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was given a new name so that, you know, it could be clearly distinguished. That was the only reason why.
Okay, so I'm confused because I'm not understanding one thing. Jayapataka Maharaj, it sounds like you're saying that he there was a new structure, which is why he wanted to give new name. But before, I thought you were saying that they were the same structure, even though different names. So I'm confused.
They are. The current system of Bhakti Viksha is the same, you know, format, the structure, everything is the same as Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Namahata system.
Uh-huh.
So the current Bhakti Viksha that we know in ISKCON today is the same as Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Namahata system.
Right. So the reason why the name Bhakti Viksha is given, mm-hmm. instead, even though it's the same structure, is it only because the distinction that he wanted to make was that, in other words, why not call it Namhata today?
Why not? Because Namhata was an already existing system in ISKCON. In the early 80s, there was a congregational preaching program that was developed, which was already called as Namhata, which did not have the structure nor the process that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had already given. But that system of study of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's system was not available at that time when Namahatta was implemented in ISKCON. Okay? So because, you know, Namahatta system in ISKCON had already been established, which was a home program. It was a home-based program where, you know, like nowadays how we have Maharaja's program when any traveling sannyasi comes to our home. The structure is that there's kirtan, then there's a lecture, then there's more kirtan, question answers and kirtan, and then there's prasad. That is a Namahatta program.
Yeah.
So this was what was established in ISKCON in the early 80s.
Yeah.
So when the study was done about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's structure of his Namahatta program, we found that that structure is very different than the already existing structure of Namahatta that already has been implemented in ISKCON for the past 15 years. So again, if we say that, okay, now this is Namahatta again, you know, but this is the process, it would become very confusing. So therefore, it was launched as a separate kind of program with a separate name, Bhakti Viksha, but it is the same structure that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had given. Does that clear? Does that help?
Well, I think maybe I will just review the recording because something is just not working for me. I don't know.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji, sorry to intervene. I think so. Gaurangi Mataji is asking like, what is the difference actually between Namahatta and Bhakti Vriksha? And if Namahatta, if there is no difference, then if Namahatta was going on, then why the new name of Bhakti Vriksha has landed up? So that's what basically she wants to mean. Is it right, Bharangi Mataji?
Yeah, and I think she was trying to explain that, but, you know, somehow or other, you know, because, okay, maybe if I ask this question, the bhakti, what we call Bhakti Viksha today, right? Mm-hmm. We, like you said, you know, there's lecture, there's kirtan, there's prasadam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And during the time of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, mm-hmm. which was his Namahatta program,
mm-hmm.
was there not the same, you know, lecture, kirtan, prasadam going on?
No, no.
Okay.
The current structure of Bhakti Viksha has six parts to it. Like, it's more structured. You know, it starts with an icebreaker session, then there is kirtan, very small kirtan, then there is Krishna Katha, where everyone, it's a discussion format. It's not a lecture. That's the basic difference between Bhakti Viksha and Namahatta. That Namahatta is a lecture, is one person is the speaker and everybody else is the listener. But Bhakti Viksha, Bhakti Vinod Thakur's system, was that it is supposed to be a discussion. Because in a discussion, which is, you know, like a facilitated discussion of one particular topic, if you take, say, for example, a topic of karma, and if you have a facilitator, like there'll be a facilitator who facilitates the discussion around that one topic, then the learning mm-hmm. is faster, you know. That was the basic idea of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's system. And so that was third part, which is Krishna Katha. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur used this system called as, you know, japa. So chanting one round of japa, and then, you know, before chanting, have a session of reading the glories of the holy name. So that everyone can, even new people can, you know that, okay, this is the reason why we are chanting the holy name. We're giving them a, you know, an inspiration to just make them chant, rather, you know. So have a session called the japa session. And then there was one very important session, which was the fifth part of the program, which was called preaching, sharing Krishna consciousness. Means Bhaktivinoda Thakur would say that, if you like what we are doing here, bring your friends, you know, and bring your, you know, known people, or just go and tell about this program to others. And he would keep this program in a small group of 10 to 15 people. As soon as the group members would become more than 10 to 15 people, he would say that the group should multiply. And then you keep again having these programs, and then when the group is again, you know, saturated to 10 to 15, again multiply. So the preaching keeps expanding and expanding and expanding while still being connected to one root. So that is the system of Bhakti Riksha, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur had suggested. That is a way that you can really conquer the, you know, this is the same system that Nityananda Prabhu used of, you know, like, mobilizing villages after villages, you know, in Bengal. This was the system that he used. You know, meeting in small groups and having discussion programs and asking them to go and bring others, you know. And
okay.
They have programs once a week, but they would have it every day, things like that. So that's the difference in the structure of Namahata.
Okay. Okay, so in Namahata, it was, the structure was more lecture or class-based, right?
Yes.
And another feature was that, you know, once the group got too big, they would branch off, right?
Namahata would never branch, no.
Oh, Namahata would never branch.
Mm-mm. No, Namahata would never branch. The one in ISKCON. The one that was implemented in ISKCON would never branch. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Namahata structure, yes, it would branch.
Okay, so you see, this was, I think, why I got confused, because there was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's version of Namahata, the original version,
mm-hmm,
which was
mm-hmm.
like lecture-based. And then,
no,
I think you said...
No. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's original structure was discussion-based.
Oh, his was discussion-based.
Yes.
So it was ISKCON's Namahata that was
lecture-based. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let me see. So ISKCON Namahata was lecture, and Bhaktivinoda was discussion. I can see why I was getting so confused. And then, so for a while in ISKCON, I guess you said in the 80s somewhere, we started our Namahata, right?
Yes.
And then it was Jayapataka Maharaj who wanted to bring back more Bhaktivinoda Thakur's style,
yes,
of let's say Namahata, which he would now call Bhakti Riksha.
Right, because he was appointed by the GBC as the congregation minister for ISKCON. So it was Jayapataka Maharaj who implemented Namahata in the 80s. But it was he again who implemented Bhakti Riksha in the mid-90s.
Okay, so he wanted to use the term Bhakti Riksha because he wanted to distinguish it from this lecture-based Namahata,
exactly,
of ISKCON.
Exactly.
Ah! Okay, and so just following up on your answer, I was just interested in the six aspects. You said in the Bhakti Riksha, there's the icebreaker, there's kirtan, there's the Krishna katha, right? There's a japa session, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another aspect.
The fifth session is sharing Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the sixth one is prasad.
And prasad. Okay, wow.
Prasad is also part of wisdom, you see?
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for hanging in there with me with that.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you.
I actually do have another question.
Mm-hmm.
You said that another thing I did not catch when you were making the connection between the Atmarama verse and the Murugari the Hunter story, how were those two connected?
Well, it's not really connected. It's not really connected that it is said that that just in, you know, that how even the heart of Murugari the Hunter, Mahaprabhu actually just gives this story as an... Mahaprabhu chose to give this story, to speak about this story, because in the entire explanation of the Atmarama verse, for the 225 verses that I was saying in the beginning of the chapter, it's going to go on, you know, and there Mahaprabhu is talking about how Shukadev Goswami, how the four Kumaras, you know, who were Brahmavadis before, how they became devotees, you know, how they got attracted to Krishna. And, you know, so Mahaprabhu has been glorifying those layers of devotees, you know, who are like the top, you know, realized people. But this Atmarama verse also relates to anybody, you know, even a gross materialistic person can get attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. So in that regard, Mahaprabhu is, you know, narrating the story of Murugari the Hunter, who was such a ruthless hunter that he would, you know, kill his animals and half kill them just to enjoy that hunt, you know. And he was so ruthless that how his heart changed. How could his heart change? It was, you know, because of this verse's glory. So just to establish the glory of this verse, which Mahaprabhu had already established about the self-realized souls, or about the spiritualists rather, the different layers of spiritualists, by talking about four Kumaras and Shukadev Goswami and all of them. But the now Mahaprabhu was giving the example on the other side, you know, of a really ruthless hunter. That how his heart changed. And that how glorious Krishna is, how glorious the servants of Krishna are, like Narad Muni, that because they are self-realized, whoever they come in touch with can make them glorified, you know? So that's the connection.
This Atmarama verse, mm-hmm. Kind of almost afraid to ask the question, but you know, this I have heard of this verse, but somehow it still remains a bit of an enigma for me, you know, because is it possible to say what the basic idea? I'm still trying to make a connection between the transformation of people and this uh-huh. verse. So, mm-hmm. how is the transformation of people, or just the elevation of people who are already elevated? How is this connected to the Atmarama verse? Mm.
The connection is very simple. If you just let me just read the translation to you, especially the last line. It will become clear. The last line says that this means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls.
Mm-hmm.
That is the connection.
Okay.
That because of the transcendental qualities that Krishna possesses, that he is capable of attracting anyone, you know, be it mm-hmm. spiritualist, or be it gross materialistics like Murugari the Hunter, you know?
Yes.
That's
yes.
connection.
I see. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be that simple to answer, but thank you. There's one, if I could just squeeze in one very last question, is when you were discussing the, you know, the marketplace of, or the holy name, and
the holy name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and was it Bhaktivinoda Thakur who said that the commission that he would take is prema?
Yes. Because, you know, in the marketplace of the holy name, the product that is sold is the holy name. And the currency with which we buy the holy name is Shraddha, which is faith.
Yes.
And by chanting the holy name, by using that product, what is the benefit that we get? It's Krishna prema. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that once you're satisfied with the results that you get after buying the product in the marketplace of the holy name, I will come to take that commission.
So, he's saying, therefore, that if we share this holy name
mm-hmm.
with others,
mm-hmm.
then the profit that we get from mm-hmm. having shared it is
Prema.
Yes. Okay.
So we also get blessed with Krishna Prema, and that is our commission.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. All right. Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome, Mataji. I really adore and admire your questions. Thank you.
Thank you for your encouragement.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Any other questions? Chikala Sudha Mataji, with your and Advaita Chandra Prabhuji and all Vaishnavis, senior Vaishnavas, permission, I want to add one more point that different between Bhakti Ruksha and the Bhakti Vinod Thakur Hatta, what is it, Mataji? Under the guidance of Advaita Chandra Prabhu and H.G. Kala Sudha Mataji, there is a three Bhakti Ruksha class going on in abroad, in Atlanta. So different like a senior junior student, you give learn to them ABCD and you start directly to reading. It is impossible. So that the difference between Hatha Yoga and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, what is it, Mataji? The difference between these two is Bhakti Vruksha is for very, very basic newcomer Vaishnava. In this Bhakti Vruksha, they explain Krishna Katha first and then Bhagavad Gita class, that explanation, and after that japa, one or two japa, and then discussion. Very basic class, so that each and every Vaishnava will understand. Bhakti Vruksha class start so that newcomer Vaishnava will understand Krishna consciousness sincerely. And after that, I have seen that they start to come in a temple. They have a Tulsi Mala in within 1 year. Before that, they start to come in formal dress. After that, they start dhoti kurta, Tulsi Mala, and Mataji start to sari. So that it's for newcomer Vaishnava. Dandavat Pranam Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, for adding that. Yes, it is for newcomers. But Bhakti Riksha is such a beautiful system that because it is a discussion, you can have discussion among sadhus also, you know, amongst Brahmin-initiated devotees. We have in Houston, we have Bhakti Riksha with Bhakti Shastri students. You know, so that also is a discussion. So, yes, it is mainly geared towards newcomers, no doubt about that. But Bhakti Riksha can also be done with, you know, advanced topics. Like we have edifications that we discuss on Srimad Bhagavatam. We have edifications on Krishna book. Like that, you know, there's Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. All of this is there. So, you know, Bhakti Riksha can be done in any level, basically. And it's another thing is that we are not saying that Bhakti Vriksha is the only way that, you know, Namahata system doesn't work or anything like that. No. Bhakti Vriksha is just one of the ways to attract new people, for sure. And at the same time, Namahata program is also still needed because when our visiting sannyasis come, we actually have a Namahata program. We may not know what Namahata is, but we are doing it, you know. So it's not that we should just have one kind of program and just stick to that. No, that's not the motto of the Congregation Development Ministry of ISKCON, that we are trying to only say that Bhakti Riksha is the only way. No, that's not what our motto is. That Bhakti Riksha is definitely one of the easiest ways, if you follow the system, to attract new people, to make them devotees, like Vrinda Gopika Mataji said. And you know, but we also want and, you know, also need to have these Namahata programs. You know, we need to have book distribution seminars. We need to have Grihastha workshops. We need to have so many how to raise children, all kinds of programs in ISKCON. You know, so every program is important. It does not, you know, bring down or bring up any other program, but this is also one of the ways of preaching which is given by our acharyas. That's the only thing.
Yes, so Mataji, with your permission, I have one more point, that initiation is a very important thing in our life, but Vaishnava are not taking seriously. So that Bhakti Vruksha, now it's compulsory to attend 3 years Bhakti Vruksha, so that they will learn Srisi Bhagavad Gita. After they learn Srisi Bhagavad Gita, after that Srisi Bhagavatam, and after that Srisi Chaitanya Charanamrita. So it's step-wise study in Bhakti Vruksha class. That's why ISKCON start this Bhakti Vruksha class.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mataji, for your realization. Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
But there is no any more question for realization. Oh, Mataji, you going to sing?
Oh, yeah. Yes, nice. Vrinda Gopika Mataji told me to sing, so I have to honor her request.
Yes.
So this is Vrindavana Ramya Sthan.
Yes, really very wonderful, nice song.
Vrindavana Ramya Sthan, Dibbo Chinta Moni Thaan, Ratana Mandira Manohara, অপৃত কালে দিনি রে রাজহংস খেলি করে তাহে সবে কনক কম প্রিয় হরে কৃষ্ণ
হরে হরে বৃন্দাবন
Very nice, all wish to you, Mataji. Very, very, very inspiring class. Hare Krishna.
Please thank you again for the opportunity and begging for forgiveness for the extreme delay. So sorry for that. Thank you.
All right, it's very good. Everybody liked it. So that's good. Thank you, Mataji. We'll end the class here now.
Yes.
पांचाकपतरुपेश कृपासिन्धुजीयश पतितां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनन्तकोटिवै